started tonight. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 4. Book of Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. I'm excited about what I'm going to be preaching about tonight. I'm excited about it for several reasons. And I'm going to begin it tonight and carry it on as long as the Lord will let us, because I think it's something that is needful, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. And as long as we stay with the book, we ought to be able to get something out of it. Amen?
Right.
And so a lot of what I'm going to be teaching on or preaching on is stuff that I've learned from experience. I'm not necessarily going after books and so forth. I try to stay with the Bible. But I'm telling you, what I'm going to be preaching on tonight and teaching about over the course of the next several weeks is, again, just potentially life-changing, life-saving. Amen? And so I look forward to it. Proverbs chapter number 4, we'll look at a couple of verses, and then we'll also go to Proverbs chapter number 7. And if you just want to hold your finger over there, in Proverbs chapter number 4, notice verse number 11 through 13. The Bible says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Now notice verse 13. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her. Notice this last phrase. For she is thy life. She is thy life. Take fast hold of wisdom. Take fast hold of instruction and let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Now look over in Proverbs chapter number 7. We'll contrast this reading here. We'll pick up in verse number 21. You know, Proverbs chapter number 7. I looked out the window of my casement, beheld among the simple ones a young man void of understanding. And we go on down through. We pick up in verse number 21. The Bible says, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Verse 22, he goeth after her straightway. Notice the way that he goeth after her. As an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Now that's a unique phraseology. We get an ox going to the slaughter, they do that in ignorance. An ox does not know they're going to be slaughtered. But then he says, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Again, it's just a great ignorance in this. You know, sometimes the mind of a fool, a correction of stocks. But verse 23 says, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and watch this phrase, knoweth not that it is for his life. It's for his life. On the one hand, you have, take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, for she is thy life. Then on the other hand, you have someone who's found themselves in a position where it is literally for his life. Here are two choices, and the choices are choices of life. There is the choice, if we look back in Proverbs chapter number 4, there is the choice of a life that is defined as strong. Verse number 12, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. The strong life, it's one that's not easily tripped up. It's a life of stability. Verse 12, when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. It's a life not only of strong and stability, but it's a life that is whose steps are sure. Verse number 18, the Bible says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. It's a life of sure and determined steps. And then verse number 25, we see that it is a life of steadfastness or a steady life. Let thine eyes look right on and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. This steadfast life contrasted with a life of, there in chapter number 7, a life of verse number 8 of deception, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house there in the dark there, a life of deception, a life of darkness, verse number 9, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, a life of defeat. We see in verse 21, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. A life of defamation, having your testimony ruined, having negative things defining you. There in verse number 22 says, he goeth after straightway as an ox to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Man, there's nothing to be proud of in those scenarios and those situations. And then lastly, a life of destruction, verse 23, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Ultimately, asking at the last what the person asked in Proverbs chapter number 5, verse number 11, where the Bible says, for wisdom, I'm sorry, in Proverbs chapter 5, let me back up. Verse number 11, the Bible says, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say this, how have I hated instruction, and how, he goes on to say, how my heart despised reproof. He said, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. You know, I believe that the answer is found in between these two and the two different contrasts of lives that are set before us, lives to choose from, is found in the willingness to make right decisions. In the willingness to make right decisions. If there's one thing that I've learned in my years of ministry, it is the importance and the value of making right decisions. In my own life, as well as in the lives of those that I've tried to help. My goodness, when I talk to the folks that I minister to, both at church as well as those that lived on the streets, you know, it just gets down to this very simple truth. Bad decisions. Bad decisions. Bad decision making. Well, what if we could learn to make good decisions? What if we could learn to make good decisions? There's more to making good decisions than just having the ability, and I don't want to get ahead of myself in my notes, but the truth of the matter is, many people have the ability to make good decisions, but they lack the willingness to make good decisions. And that's a problem. It's in the ability to make, the willingness to make right decisions. Notice back in Proverbs chapter number 4, verse number, we'll pick up there in verse number 14. Notice when he tells him, when the father passes on that instruction, verse 13, take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Notice these, I believe there's five, maybe six, there's six times where instruction is given that requires a decision to be made. First of all, enter not. That requires somebody to make the decision not to enter into. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not. That requires a decision. The instruction is given, but the decision is yours. Enter not. Make the right decision. Go not. Make the right decision in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Avoid it. Make the right decision. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. All of those are instructions that have been presented But it's choices, and the choices require the right decision. And when the right decision is made, then we come out to a life of strength and blessing and great joy and peace and godly contentment. But not until right decisions are made. Right decisions. I've said, I've seen many people struggle with the ability to make right decision. And not just, listen, it's not just those that are young. Not just those that are young. We know that young people make mistakes. They make bad decisions. Oftentimes their decision is based on ignorance. They don't know. They're hard-headed. They think they know everything at the ripe old age of 13. But it's not just young people. It's adults. It's adults, less maybe because of ignorance, more so because they've lived a life of sight, physical sight. They've lived a life of rebellious pride, fleshly pride and rebellion. And now they are, as adults, trying to learn to make better decisions. It didn't take me long. I tell my testimony often about how that whenever I was about 17, I said, man, I need somebody to teach me how to live. Why? Because it didn't take me very long to realize I didn't have it. I didn't know how to make good decisions. My decision making, whatever I would use that term, ability to draw from my decision making, was very small. And I didn't make good decisions. I need to learn how to make good decisions. And as I said previously, it requires in the outset a willingness to make right decisions, not merely the ability. Man alive, how many people stepped off into a bunch of wickedness or foolishness knowing better? It's not about the ability to make the right decision. It's about the willingness to do so. You know, we see this guy in Proverbs chapter number 5 when he says, when it says of him that he mourns at the last when his flesh and his body are consumed. By the way, this speaks of an older age. They started at a young age, but here they are now at the old age, finally pondering the paths of their steps and realizing, how foolish have I been. And here he says, notice as he thinks, he says, and say, how have I hated instruction? This person was taught how to make the right decision. How have I hated instruction? And did not, nor incline mine ear. And see, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof? This person had the ability to make right decisions, but didn't have the willingness to. And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers. Again, having the ability to make right decisions, but lacking the willingness to do so, nor incline mine ear to them that instructed me. All the instructors in the world is not going to help some rebellious fool when they're not willing to. They're just not willing to. Often the basis of our decision making is in our lack of understanding what it will result in. I think that's a good statement. Often the basis of our decisions, the basis of our decision is in our lack of understanding what it will result in. In other words, if you notice the two types of decisions, the fleshly, carnal, those types of decisions, the reward is generally very, very short out. In other words, you can see it. Here it is. A big party going on tonight, some teenager might say. Big party going over at my friend's house. I can lie to my parents and say I'm going to go over to so-and-so's house and stay the night over there, and we'll go to the party. See, that decision is a bad decision because it involves deception and involves an inability to be able to speak the truth. So it's a bad decision, but the payoff is just a couple hours out. A lot of times people will choose those when most likely the spiritual, the most important, the most lasting decision-making, those results are usually longer out. We reap what we sow. So we sow today spiritually. Oftentimes it may be years down the road before we reap that reward. And so the basis of our decision making often is in the inability to perceive what it will result in. We do things so foolishly. For we make bad decisions, we think we're going to have good consequences, but it never works out like that. And often we make good decisions and we think, that'll go unnoticed, but God says it will never go unnoticed. So we tend to base our decision based on these things. And that's why I think many times people make the wrong decision. They lack faith. They lack spiritual leadership. And so they generally choose the one that's going to give them the immediate payoff. And that most often is a bad decision. And there's a lot of scripture I could go to on that, but that's just the truth. Many times I've seen good people make terrible decisions. And I truly believe they do this knowing that there will be negative consequences. I've seen good people make bad decisions, and they know that it's going to result in negative consequences. But their attitude, I believe with all my heart. No one's ever told me this, but you see it enough times, you start seeing a pattern. When I say it, many of you in here are going to say, "You're right, preacher." So many times I've seen good people make bad decisions knowing that there are going to be negative consequences. But their attitude toward them, toward those negative consequences, is that I will deal with them as they come. I'll deal with that as it comes. We go out here and get in debt. We think, surely they told me I could qualify for it, so I must be able to afford it. And you ain't never sat down for 10 minutes and thought through your finances. What do you do? Well, I'm going to go ahead and get it today, and I'll worry about that later. When the collector's calling you and calling your family and calling your pastor, well, it's got to be that mindset. Sometimes people will know that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, but we want to get in the flesh anyway. We know that's negative. We think, okay, whenever the judgment of God comes on me because I knowingly got in the flesh and didn't care what anybody else thought about it, they just say, I'll fool with that. I'll deal with that as they come. And it just goes, there's so many different areas of life. Teenagers with friends, adults with their friends, and on and on and on it goes. The problem is that they have no idea how far-reaching those consequences may go. No idea. They're wrapped up in God's judgment. They're wrapped up in this whirlwind that is the results of making bad decisions. What about Achan? Achan saw that goodly Babylonian garment, wedge of gold. I believe there was some silver there, if I remember right. Man, he just saw that, thought surely nobody would know it, grabbed it up. I guess he might have thought that at best, at worst, they'd kill me for it, not realizing it also destroyed his whole family and everything that he owned, everything. Bad decision. No idea how far-reaching the consequences would be. What about David and his sin with Bathsheba? David and his sin with Bathsheba. Bad decision. Thou shalt restore the lamb fourfold. That child died. Had the sin of Amnon. Tamar, Amnon was killed by Absalom. Absalom and David never, ever got along after that. David said, "Would God I'd died for thee," over a bad decision. Bad decision that he had no idea how far-reaching the consequences would be. What about Samson? "Go there and get me that woman, for she pleaseth me well." Bad decision. No idea how far-reaching those consequences would be. What about Moses? He smote the rock. Supposed to have spoken to it. Unable to go into the promised land. Led the children of Israel right up to the brink of it and was told he couldn't go in. Bad decision. Could not foresee how long the consequences, how far-reaching those consequences would be. Nadab and Abihu offering strange fire before the Lord. About the sin of Jeroboam. That testimony of the sin of Jeroboam stayed with the nation of Israel all the way through the time of their captivity. Sin of Jeroboam. The sin of Jeroboam. A bad decision. It was not without logic. It was just a bad decision. Entering into it, not realizing that the consequences were far more reaching than he ever imagined. Judas sold the Lord a couple of pieces of silver. Later felt so bad about it that he hung himself. Not realizing, listen, making bad decisions, not realizing, I mean, with the mindset of, hey, I'll just deal with the problems as they come. But you do so ignorantly because you have no idea how far-reaching those consequences are going to be. You have no idea. I'm telling you right now, we need to stop making bad decisions. We need to stop making bad decisions. Beloved, there are not too many things more valuable than to have both the ability and the willingness to make good decisions. Make good decisions. It requires thought. Not only does it require thought, it requires character and discipline. But oh my goodness, you don't realize how priceless it is to be somebody who is wise enough to make good decisions. Good decisions. The unwillingness to make good decisions, I put down three descriptions here. The unwillingness to make good decisions will result in depression. Multitudes in the valley of decision. The word valley there, not just the physical, but it's a type of a low place. In the valley of decision. When you make bad decisions, they come back to haunt you. They haunt you in ways that you never expected. They're on your mind. They mess with your emotions. They'll drive you down. I told you, to me, and it just kind of goes along with this, to me, what depression is when a person does not do what they know they're supposed to do. Not what anybody else expects of them. Sometimes it is what others expect of them. But most often it's when that individual doesn't do what he or she knows they're supposed to do. That feeling of guilt and slothfulness and laziness, that's this thing of depression. It's a locked down way to be. And it's paralyzing. But how do you beat it? Start doing what you're supposed to do. You start doing what you're supposed to do. No, I think I'll just go down to the doctor, get some coke dope. You know why? Because we're so stubborn, we won't do what we know that we're supposed to do. Instead, we'll go down and get some dope. Doctor diagnosed me with problems, and here I am. Anyway, I know that went over like a lead balloon. Better be. Unwillingness to make good decisions will result in depression. It will result in instability. James chapter number 1, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Inability to make, an unwillingness to make good decisions will result in a life of instability. Instability. Can't hold a job. Can't keep up with your finances. Can't keep anything steadfast, solid, straight, and online. Can't do it. Because of an unwillingness to make good decisions. And it'll result in instability. Thirdly, they can result in lifelong regret. Lifelong regret. Remember, the Lord was approached by that rich young ruler. Told to sell, take all his stuff and sell it, give it to the poor, take up your cross and follow me. And the Bible says he went away sorrowful. Bad decision. Result in lifelong regret. What about Felix as Paul was preaching to him and he trembled even? Go thy way, I'll call for thee when I have a convenient season. We don't know if it ever came again. I'm just telling you, bad decisions. Bad decisions can end, it can result in lifelong regret. But if we can learn to make good decisions, it will result in a lifelong, unfathomable, priceless sense of peace, joy, and godly contentment. Just knowing how to make good decisions and then do it. Making good decisions benefits us spiritually. It benefits us physically. Making good decisions benefits us mentally. Making good decisions benefits us emotionally as well as financially. Making good decisions. In Proverbs chapter number 3, popular passage, but listen to it with these things in mind. I said it'll benefit us spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially. The Bible says, trust in the Lord. Verse number 5, with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. See, our choice is based on our decision making is now verse 6, based on our acknowledging him. You know, oftentimes bad decisions are not made when we acknowledge God in it. Good decisions come about when God is at the forefront of it all. It's bad decisions that are made when we don't even consider God. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. There's a decision. It shall be this decision making, the decision to fear the Lord, depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. There's a decision. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. I said, making good decisions will benefit us spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, and financially. Beginning tonight, I want to give you some things that I feel will help us make good decisions. Some things that I feel will help us make good decisions. I don't like people making bad decisions. They have bad consequences. Good decisions have good consequences. Are we ready? I'm going to give you just one tonight. If you're taking notes, and I encourage you to, when it comes to making decisions, number one, know your flesh. Know your flesh. Now that's important. That's very important. I said it in my notes as we read on, but as we come down to it, but really, when you consider it, in every decision, the flesh is going to present itself. Everyone. In everyone. So it's important for you to know your flesh. Recognize it. Learn its philosophy. Learn what it wants. Learn what it reacts to. Know your flesh. John chapter number 6, verse 63, the Lord said there, "It's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing." The flesh profiteth nothing. When you're going to make a decision based on your flesh, you already know the outcome. Nothing. The flesh profiteth nothing. Know your flesh. There in Proverbs chapter number 18. Proverbs 18. The Bible says, Proverbs 18 verse number 2. Listen to this. The Bible says, "A fool hath no delight in understanding." Won't you sit down there, Oswald? Let me explain this to you. Man, they're just rolling their eyes. They're looking at the ceiling. They're staring at the walls. You know why? Because a fool hath no delight in understanding. None. The only thing it delights in is what the rest of that verse says. That the heart may discover itself. In other words, what I want is what I want. That's all I want. You better know your flesh when it comes to making decisions. You better know your flesh. There, not only there, but Proverbs chapter number 23. Look at verse number 1. We can begin there. Proverbs 23 says, "When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee." Why? Because this guy's fixing to swoon this individual. He's fixing to buy him off with a beautiful table. He said, when you sit to eat with a ruler, you better consider it. You better think about this. And he said this in verse number 2, "And put a knife to your throat if thou be a man given to appetite." If you're of one that would go in and somebody who says they're your friend, they'll set this table before you and coach you to come in and partake of what they're partaking of, he said you better consider it very diligently. And if you're of a type of person that just simply goes after something because you want that, he said you might as well just put a knife to your throat. Why? Because he says in verse number 5, "Would thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainties," his dainty meats. "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Why, the morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up, and lose thy sweet words." I said, number one, when it comes down to making good decisions, hear me. Young people, listen to me on purpose. Know your flesh. Know it. Adults, hear me tonight. When it comes to the decision you're going to make as adults, you better be sure to check out your flesh right at the very beginning. Because it's there. Every decision. Think about the flesh. It is led by a corrupt heart. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 9. The heart is deceivable. Let's see. Let me get there and read it there. I've got it marked. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Are we making good decisions? Better know your flesh. Better know it, first of all, because it's led by a corrupt heart. It's led by a corrupt heart. Well, I just felt like it in my heart. Your heart is a liar. I just followed my heart. Yeah, like a fool. The blind leading the blind. You better know your flesh when it comes to your decision making. Why? Because it's led by a corrupt heart. Secondly, the flesh is steeped in selfishness. We need that new car. We need that new house. We need this new item. We need that latest gadget. We need this new 50-inch television. We need... It's all, the flesh is selfish. It wants to be pleased. In fact, I put that down. It's steeped in selfishness. Self-pleasing. Samson. Forget about mom. Forget about dad. Forget about country. Forget about anything that I've been taught. I want that woman. She pleaseth me. Flesh. Flesh. It's steeped in selfishness. Self-pleasing. Self-profiting. Self-profiting. I think about that servant of Elijah. When Elijah told a Naaman to keep his stuff and take it back with him. And that servant followed after him. And he came to him and lied to him about it. Trying to profit. It's a bad decision. He saw, no doubt, he saw all the good things that he could have if he had those gifts. It was a bad decision. That leprosy was just waiting on somebody to crawl on. Because of his bad decision, it went on him. It's self-profiting and it's self-promoting. Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel chapter number 4, the greatness of Babylon that he built by his might and his majesty and all the things that he'd done. And just like that, God drove him out. Eat grass like a wild animal. But that's how the flesh is. The flesh itself, it is steeped in selfishness. When we talk about making good decisions, the first thing you're going to have to consider is your flesh. And is your flesh involved in your decision making? And if it is, I'm going to tell you right now, that's a bad foundation to begin from. And it's going to profit absolutely nothing. The flesh is the original non-profit organization. It profits nothing. Zero. When you set out to make your decisions based on what is going to make your flesh happy, you know right off the bat, that's a bad decision. Now, who's with me? That's a bad decision. I'm trying to teach you tonight how to make good decisions. How to make good decisions. Number one, know your flesh. Why? Because it's led by a corrupt heart. Number two, it's steeped in selfishness. Do you know that just because you want to do something does not mean you have to do it? You know that? Just because you want to do something does not mean you have to do it. You are not a slave to your desires. You're not a slave to your desires. Romans chapter number 6 teaches that. Just because you want to do something doesn't mean you have to do it. You know, sometimes we talk about people that can bump them gums, you know. If they're thinking it, you're fixing to hear it. I try to tell them, just because you're thinking it don't mean we want to hear it. Nor do we need to hear it. Well, you know what? Just because you may want to do something that may be wrong doesn't mean you have to do it. I mean, you have to. You know what temptation is? Temptation is the desire to do something that is not what God would have you do. But guess what? You can overcome temptation. You can. You don't have to yield to it. Just because you want to do something does not mean you have to do it. Now, obviously, you should at some point get your desires right. Get away from it, but hey, listen, we all find ourselves in predicaments where we may want to do something. Man alive, I drive my old truck. I'm getting a lot of miles on that truck of mine. I start thinking about these new pickups. And think, you know, but I never thought one time about finances. And I certainly haven't prayed about it. But I've sure thought about it. Well, that'd be a bad decision. That'd be a bad decision. So just because you may want to do something doesn't mean you have to do it. Listen, you do not have to be a slave to your desires. Yet so many seem to convince themselves that because they desire something, that somehow God must be involved and it must be His will. Well, that ain't nothing but foolishness and perversion. That's foolish. You've simply forgot to take into account the desires of your rotten flesh. Know your flesh. Why? Because it's led by a corrupt heart. It's steeped in selfishness. And thirdly, it tends your flesh. I'm at your flesh now. Knowing your flesh. Your flesh tends to be anti-God's will. Your flesh tends to be, in other words, probably 90% of the time, your flesh is going to choose anti-God's will. That's the way the flesh operates. Why? Because self does not like to be governed. Self don't like to be governed. Don't tell me what to do. Don't run my life. I do what I want. Self does not like to be governed. Flesh does not like to be governed. Don't try to run my life. That's what the flesh says. And so when it comes to making decisions, if we don't take into account our flesh, we're going to find that the flesh always, almost always, tends to be anti-God's will. Because it don't like to be governed. But guess what God wants to do? He wants you to be governed. God wants to govern your life. Think about it. He's given us pastors. He says, obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. As they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief. Obey them. There is a structure of authority. The flesh don't like to be governed. We have parents. God established parents to guide us and direct us. As soon as we get of age, begin to backtalk and disrespect them. We tell them, you don't tell me what to do. Why? Because flesh doesn't like to be governed. Self does not like to be governed. God's given us commandments. You know the commandments of God's word. I've said this. The commandment, the Ten Commandments are not there to, let's see, how was it I used to word that? I used to say it all the time. That the law is not given to keep us from sin. The law is given to reveal sin. In other words, you already are, by nature, a sinner. How do you know that? Because the law is given to show you that. Given us commandments to show us how we need to be governed. He's given us the scriptures to teach us how to live. He's given us laws that we are to abide under and boundaries to live within. But I'm telling you right now, the flesh hates all of that. Because it doesn't want to be told what to do and how to do it. Doesn't want to. You see, when it comes to decision making, if you are not on top of your own fleshly desires, you're subject to making a bad decision. Why? Because your flesh is led by a corrupt heart. It's steeped in selfishness, and it almost is always anti-God's will for your life. Not concerned about God's will. When it comes to the decisions that you make in life, you'd better have a real good understanding as to how your flesh can deceive you. Know your flesh. Because it will present itself in every decision that you make. In every decision you make. Whether it be at salvation, Spirit of God says come, but the flesh may tend to resist. Whether the area of submission, Spirit of God may try to get you to do so, but the flesh says, I'll not do it. In the area of separation, my goodness, if I do this, what will the rest of the world think about me? In the area of a job that you may be seeking, what about God's direction? Or is it just that it offers you more money? better benefits, although you can't come to church on Sunday. You won't be able, you'll have to let your class go. You can't go out and visit a bus route. Decisions. Decisions, a place to live, whether this girlfriend or boyfriend, all of that. All of that, the flesh is going to be involved in it. The career you may choose, the handling of circumstances in your life, and financial decisions. You better know your flesh. You better know it. You better consider it. When it comes to a decision making, you ought to ask yourself, am I going to make this decision because it's what God wants, or is it because what I want? And if the decision-making is based on the fact that it's just what you want, I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. That's a bad decision. That's a bad decision. And see, like I said, you may say, okay, I think you're right, and I believe you're right, and I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. Well, now here's the thing. Go back to what I told you before. Many times people do that. And your mindset is this. Okay, I know there's negative consequences coming. I'll deal with that as they come. Here's what I'm telling you, and here's what I'm warning you. You have no idea how far-reaching those consequences are. Have no idea. You think you're just going to brush off consequences from God? You better think again. You'll be peeling them things off when you're 50 years old. You don't know. You don't know. You're going to find out, like that fellow said in Proverbs 5, how have I hated instruction? How have I hated instruction? Paul said, as I close tonight, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, there in verse number 24, he's talking about running this race. Amen. We're all in this race of life. He said, know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. He said, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And so verse number 26 says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But notice verse 27, and this is my admonition to you concerning your flesh. Paul says, but I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection. I bring it into subjection. Oh, what a wise thing to do. Paul here was acknowledging that there was a desire of his own flesh. There was his own view. There was what he thought would make him happy. But he said, I take that and I bring it into subjection. Oh, that'd be good for us to do when it comes to our decision making. That when the flesh rears its ugly head and tries to take control of your decision that you're fixing to make, bring it into subjection. And he goes on to say that he'd done it, obviously for spiritual reasons, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. But here's the point that he's telling us. We can take this old rotten flesh and bring it into subjection. Just because you may desire to do something, just because you may want to make a bad decision, doesn't mean you have to. You can still make the right decision. I'm just going to tell you, though, you've got to be wise. Just because you want to do it, don't mean that you have to do it. Making good decisions. In order to make good decisions, number one, you're going to have to know your flesh. And make sure that your decision making is not based on your fleshly desire. But I'm just telling you, hear this preacher, it's a bad decision. It's a bad decision. And it's going to cost you. Let's stand together, our heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I pray that, Lord, you help us to make good decisions. Decades would go by. Life There are folks in prison today over one bad decision. There are folks who have been led to the death chambers of our nation over a bad decision. Oh, God. Families broken up over a bad decision. Churches split and going different directions over bad decisions. Oh, dear Lord, teach us. Teach us. Impart unto us, please, spiritual insight and wisdom of making good decisions. For it is our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God spoke to your heart. You come. Listen.